This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on June 23rd, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And let us pray. Loving God, send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to breathe on us the breath of your life as we travel where you lead, and through it bring us to the calm shore amongst the storms of our lives. Amen. Long before this gospel story was told, God tells a story about creation. We have it in the book of Genesis. God speaks and breathes creation into being. The first verse of the scriptures: "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind, a breath, the Holy Spirit from God swept over the face of the waters." God brings creative order into being out of chaos. God speaks creation into being. God breathes creation into being. And as we particularly hear in Genesis chapter 2, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." God breathes his new creation into being. The risen Lord Jesus also comes to bring a new creation after his resurrection. You remember that story in John chapter 20 that we hear early in the Easter season? The disciples are locked behind closed doors in fear. And Jesus comes amongst them, just as he always had, just as he is today, and just as he always will, and breathes on them and gives them peace. And he commissions them to bring the same peace in proclaiming the forgiveness of sins won on the cross by Christ himself. The breath of God bringing peace and order where chaos tries to reign. At Pentecost, the same Spirit who hovered over the waters at creation brings and breathes a whole church into being at the very first Christian Pentecost. God tells us in Acts chapter 2, "And suddenly from heaven there was the sound like the rush of a mighty wind, and filled the entire house where they," the disciples, "were sitting." The entire church is breathed into life. And as Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There's no limitation, it seems, to God's creative, life-restoring, eternal life-bringing Spirit. As we hear in the book of Revelation towards the end, see, I'm making all things new. The breath of God like a mighty wind breathing life into being. And in so doing, blowing Satan and his army away at the same time. That's the spiritual battle. That's the story of your faith, isn't it? And mine. Maybe it's not, or at least doesn't seem as dramatic as some of those accounts that I've just been reading. But make no mistake, without the breath of God, without the Spirit at work in you, there would be no new life faith in our hearts. That would leave us at the in peril of Satan. Like the first creation of the heavens and the earth and of the creatures and of the humans, the same Spirit hovers over the waters in baptism, when you and I are baptized. And this same Spirit, as God speaks and breathes new life into our hearts and into our very beings, into our souls, occurs for us in the story of our lives in baptism. Thanks be to God. We're in good shape, aren't we? We're wrapped. Or are we? Well, of course we are. But as we hear in the gospel reading today, there's a part of me, a part of you, a part of us which knows the experience of those disciples in the little boat on the seas. And when you come up to Holy Communion today, you'll see a very rickety little but wonderful boat on the seas here, being tossed about by the mighty wind and the waves. That's the place of spiritual warfare, isn't it? Don't we know the same fear sometimes? The anxiety, the worry, even the panic of our little boat of life being swamped? And there's Jesus with us, I think. Are you asleep, Lord? Don't you care about me and my fear? We're about to be swamped. It can be sometimes scary being in that fragile little lifeboat. I've known from others the stories of tragedy at sea. Personal stories of friends who have gone through boating tragedies. How they've spoken of how thankful they are, but how panicked they were in fear at the time. In fact, thankful that they've lived. Sometimes life, like the sea, can seem out of control. The disciples in the story we hear today feel helpless, it seems. But should they? They know the sea is a place of chaos. In everyday lives, we too can know this feeling. Sometimes overwhelmed by the storms of life. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, are you asleep at the wheel? Jesus, are you here? It's in the midst of the storm, in the depth of the fear, that God speaks. Jesus speaks, doesn't he? He rebukes the wind. And this word rebuke, as it's used of Jesus in the scriptures, is a very strong word. It's a heart word. It's a heart word. It's a Jesus heart word, if you will, because it's used by him whenever he recreates, whenever he makes things whole where chaos would try to rule. In the cases of healing and driving out evil spirits, this word rebuke comes up. God rebukes the false powers of sin, of death, and of the evil one in our lives too. He is making all things new in us. And so Jesus speaks and breathes peace again. Be still. Be silent. This Jesus in our lives, in our boat, has authority, and he has defeated the powers which cause fear in your life and mine, in our lives, and brings fear into our hearts. He has won the victory, dear friends, and he is with you. He is with us in the boat. That's the promise as the Spirit hovered over the waters of baptism and as the Word of God breathed new and eternal life into your heart. They speak to us in the boat and they show me again Jesus on the cross and Jesus risen to new life, Jesus for and with you and me. And the same Spirit that hovered over the waters of your baptism and mine is the same one that Jesus promises his disciples in John's Gospel as he prepared to leave them, to go to his death. The Spirit, Jesus calls the Spirit the Helper, the Advocate, will come and will be with you on the journey, and especially perhaps in those times when the boat of your life is tossed about by the wind and the waves. Jesus says, but when the Helper, the Advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will bear witness about me, Jesus says. The Spirit, our Helper, our Comforter, our Advocate, brings us by God's sure word of promise to Jesus in such times. Jesus, who is in the boat with us always, especially when the wind and waves threaten to overtake us. The word for advocate in the Greek New Testament is paraclete. Do you know it? Maybe you've heard of it. Some of you will know it well. Parakletos or something like that in the Greek. It's only used five times in Scripture. Four of them happen in John's Gospel when Jesus teaches his disciples that he's about to return to the Father and so to leave them. He will send the Spirit as the advocate. Literally, the word for advocate or helper, as it's sometimes translated, is one who walks alongside. One who walks alongside. And I can't help but think of those disciples on the road to Emmaus in this space, when the wind and the waves of Jesus' death have overtaken them and are downcast. What hope is there? And Jesus comes and walks alongside and teaches and hosts and breathes life. In the modern day Greek, the use of this word is sometimes still used as a reference to a rescue boat, to the life jacket, if you will, that David showed us before. But it's really this rescue boat that comes alongside of the vessel in danger. And I think it's one of the most beautiful images for this story. It's interesting that it's still used in this fashion, I find. But God's Holy Spirit is the one whom God has sent you to come alongside in the times of your life, those especially hard places. And this Spirit promises to bring us to the safe harbour of Jesus for you and for me, for us and for the world through us. Our Advocate who on the cross and by his resurrection has defeated eternally those powers of chaos which would try to interrupt God's new creation in you and me as we go about our daily living. I love the way that First John puts it in, and you'll probably know these words in chapter 2 well. As John says, we have an advocate with the Father, we have a helper, we have a walk alongsider with the Father, who? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You do not walk alone. Look to him and then witness of him in your life, maybe especially in those hard places, to others with whom God brings to walk with you in your life. Tell of the gift. Jesus says, and you who share the boat with me, you also will bear witness. Breathe my life into the world, dear ones. Breathe my life into the church. Breathe my life into the community. Breathe my life into family, into the relationships that you might have. Breathe my life into the hard bits, into those disagreements that come, into the sickness that threatens. Breathe my life. The little boat is crossing, surely, from one side to the other. It's on the way to a new shore, to a new place, to a new people, to a new time about to beckon, to people who need the witness of Christ and the Spirit of God to breathe new life into them. We are, dear friends, with Jesus in the boat of our lives and our church. And we're also called to witness to others, both in that little boat of the church and in our family, but also to those in the new shore which lies ahead. How has Christ breathed new life into your being? We're seeing new life in some sense coming, you know, next door here as cement slabs take their place. And there's two little yellow people out the back there. Have a look if you go down Lindock Street. There's two little yellow people you can see. God's adding to his church, it seems, daily. But we must be not people of bricks and mortar. Yes, good bricks and mortar can provide wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. But this must be a place, this must be a time, this must be a journey where God's breath is breathed in, and as Pastor Nathan tells us, that we exhale it as we go. How are we as a community to travel this journey ahead? Come to the AGM and we'll talk those sorts of things through today. How will we bring this new life to others who know fear, who sometimes feel they're not can't ever be in control? People who feel lonely, people who feel hurt, people who know the uncertainties and anxieties of life's journey. Breathe on me, breath of life, and bring in and through me your creative power. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.